always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
You're listening to The Vic Porcelli Show.
A 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough.
We squeeze in a dry hump day under partly sunny skies.
From New Jersey to Baldwin, Missouri, to behind the microphone, taking the whoosh to the radical left and the putrid swamp. You're listening to The Vic Porcelli Show. Here he is, Vic Porcelli.
Well, not exactly.
No.
But Karen Kettling and Ken Williams and Kathy Kaiser, and we were talking, I just got to say this, we were talking about all the K's everywhere. Karen Kettling, Kathy Kaiser, Ken Williams, but you have like brothers and sisters, they're all K's, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the first few, I think they ran out of K's because we have, so I have seven siblings, and it was Kelly, Kim, God. Kathy, and then Kenny, and then it was Jim, Bob, and Nancy. So
Jim, Bob. But Kenny is still alive, Chrissy. Right?
Yeah.
Kenny is still alive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let me properly introduce Kathy Kaiser, resident movie critic of Fox 2. And what are you watching?
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 There you go.
That was really good, Kieran. I'm going to have to tease Vic about, you've never sang my name. Come on. That was great.
Well, it's good to meet you on the air. And I haven't seen any of these movies that you want to talk about. So I'm excited, except the first one, I'm sticking my finger in my mouth. So go for it.
Okay,
Vic wanted to talk about it too.
I'll tell you
he talked about it yesterday.
So what we
did for good.
Yeah, what we normally do is Kathy will go over all three.
Right, really quick, and tell you what I'm going to rate them, and then we'll go back and talk about them if that works.
That works good for me.
Okay, so 3.5 out of 5 popcorns is Wicked for Good, you know, the sequel to the original film that came out last year. We're going to do 3.5 out of 5 popcorns for Rental Family, starring Brendan Fraser, which I absolutely love him. And that is a really peculiar storyline that we're going to get to in a minute. And then we're going to talk about The Beast in Me on Netflix right now. And that one I'm going to give 4 out of 5 popcorns. Mm. So there you have it.
Great.
So what was Vic talking about yesterday? He wanted to be here.
Well, he did go see... What are they calling it?
Wicked for Good.
Yeah. Which I only understand Wicked in terms of the Broadway show that I loved, even though I have to say I don't like that they made the Wicked Witch the good one because they wanted to blur good and evil, which is what Frank Baum did not want to do.
Right.
That being said, I always have to say that because it bothers me because that's the wokeness of Wicked. That being said, I loved the musical, particularly the second act, the first act finale. So all they really did is take the second act and make another movie out of it, isn't it right?
Right. John Chu said that he couldn't get it all in one. There's just too much going on. So yeah, the first movie last year in November was the first act of the play. And this is the second act of the play. I sadly have seen a lot of things on Broadway and at the Fox Theater here in St. Louis. I have never seen this particular play. So I went in it totally unknowing what was going to happen last year when we started this process.
Yeah, Vic and Karen, they're really big into the plays because they were involved in them. And myself personally, I can't get past of the witches. They look emaciated to me.
Especially Ariana Grande.
I don't get it.
She's been taking too much Ozempic, I think.
Right.
Well, there's something there. Man, she never needed it. I mean, she used to be a beautiful little girl, and man, something happened.
And she's still beautiful.
Yeah, but man, it's
I don't think she's
scary.
Beautiful as skin and bone. She looks anorexic for sure.
She's kind of scary. It's kind of scary, actually.
Well, I've told more than one person that... that I literally wanted to feed that poor girl a hamburger the whole time I was watching it. Like, can you please just eat something of substance?
Yeah. Here's a milkshake.
Yeah,
have
exactly.
A milkshake.
Like,
with an egg in it.
Like, you know. But yeah, I mean, have, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You're the guest.
I have. Wait a minute. She's the guest.
I know.
Who's the guest here?
That's why I pointed at her.
I have to say that I was impressed, since I don't listen to super pop music. I mean, I got stuck in Beethoven and stuff when I was younger, and that's my go-to music. I was surprised that the voices were that good. I didn't think Ariana Grande could handle, had the chops to do the Wicked music, and clearly she does. I was wondering if somebody was dubbing it for you.
No, that is totally her. And one of the positives, like, we try really hard not to give away any spoilers, right?
Yeah.
So while we do this process, but one of the major positives of the second one is they are still so incredible singing separately and together. But I will say that the music doesn't seem as strong in the second part of the film as it did in the first.
No, I don't think it was. As a matter of fact, what I remember of it, it doesn't. I mean, it's really hard to beat that song.
Right.
From the first act.
Right.
You know, after that, you kind of go, okay, well, I'm going to have a cigarette and go home now.
And I
don't even smoke.
Right.
As a former musician, I guess, I totally appreciate the musicality of the film. I love great vocalists and everything. And they are. But I just can't get past what's the other girl's name?
Cynthia Erivo.
Oh, Cynthia. Okay, mm-hmm. God love her. She looks like Nosferatu to me. I can't look beyond that. She looks just otherworldly to me.
What's with the nails? I mean, even Margaret Hamilton didn't have nails like that,
right? That's part of her persona, bizarre. Not just on screen.
Off-screen.
But in off-screen, too, because in all of the interviews that she's ever been, you know, in, not just for this movie, she always has those. Yeah. So I think that is part of her persona.
Yeah, that's part of the wokeness, too, is that we just had to turn this into a racial thing. It wasn't enough that the Wicked Witch was green and, you know, that's a racial thing, but then you have to superimpose... another racial thing on top of it with the, does she have the piercings too? Or is that just off the,
that's just off, outside off screen. Of the, yes.
Okay.
That's just off screen. And I think that, you know, a lot of times those things interchange depending on who you are and type of style that, you know, you want to portray. So.
Yeah. No, I do what you got to do.
Right. Exactly.
Before we go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, now everybody's please. Wondering why I'm giving this 3.5 out of 5 popcorns, why it wasn't a higher rating. And for me, I know it's about our two witches, the good one and the bad one. I really needed more of Jonathan Bailey as Fiorello in the movie. I absolutely needed more of Jeffrey Goldblum. I needed more of Oz, but like I said, without me seeing the stage play, I'm like, well, maybe I'm asking for something you're not allowed to have, right?
No, but you can.
But yeah, I really thought that we were missing. I love the first part of this movie a lot better than I like the second, so that's why we got the 3.5 out of 5 popcorns.
Yeah. See, I probably would. I didn't see it, so I can't rate it. I couldn't finish the first one, and it might be because I I know the show,
right? You love the original, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's my all-time favorite musical by any stretch, but I certainly have respect for the original with the original actors playing them, and what they did to create that spectacle. Before we leave this, I have to ask you what you thought of some of these interviews and promotions for the movie. It's like these two are clawing at each other.
Yeah,
what's going on there?
I saw
what
that
is
actually
going on?
I'm not sure what that is, because they keep saying and professing how they became fast friends through this entire process, right? So I don't know if that's just to put an edge on it. I really don't know.
Sometimes people do that in promotion to get press.
Right.
Did you see this? And it's just for like clickbait.
Well, we're talking about
really
it.
Right. There you go. There
exactly.
You go.
Well, you see, I bit.
Uh-huh. There you go. Okay. There you go. And okay, let's talk a little bit really quick about Rental Family. Now, this is not a true story, but the premise is true. So in Japan, for mental health purposes, you can rent your own actor, played by Brendan Fraser, to fill in voids in your life.
That's interesting.
Right? So you just hire someone who fills in for a family member somewhere along the way, or a process in your life that you're not comfortable with. There's a couple storylines, you know, one of them, the fact that he's going to help this older gentleman who wants to go back to his home in Japan, and his daughter doesn't want to let him go. The most memorable storyline for me throughout the entire film was with a young lady by the name of Shannon Gorman. Her name is Mia in the movie. Her mom, she's never met her father, and her mom wants her to get into this elite school in Japan. So they hire Brendan Fraser's character to be her father. Now, she's never met the man, so she doesn't know what he looks like. So it totally works on one perspective, right? But they totally, I mean, it's so heartwarming and heart-wrenching at the same time, because then she realizes that this man she's literally fallen in love with is not her father.
So for Rental Family, Karen, I'm a person, and Kathy, the same way, I feel like any storyline, even if it's kind of mediocre acting, if it's really a creative storyline like this,
right,
I give it points for that. I just love that. I love that.
Right? Yeah.
So did you love it?
I didn't love it. Once again, I was about three, and I kept going back three and a half, four. There was some things that I thought were missing. Brendan Fraser did such a good job again. I really hope, you know, Academy Award time rolls around, he's at least nominated for this role. And I really hope that the young lady I was talking about, Shannon Gorman, that she gets a new up and coming award somewhere along the way, because she was incredible. She was superb. And you would have believed the way that the two of them look, that they were father and daughter, which was another perspective that somebody put a lot of thought into.
Yeah.
Right. To make it work for this film. So, and both
intriguing.
Of these are in theaters. So, popped today. So I think that if, you know, you're looking for something to go do this weekend, I'm always pushing for people to go to the movie theaters and check out what's happening. But then
we got time for the third one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, great.
If you do it a little fast, we could do it.
Okay, nope, not a problem. Then we're going to talk about streaming on Netflix, The Beast and Me, Claire Danes, Michael Rice. If you love thrillers, it's a miniseries. It's 8 episodes. When I first popped it on, it was only pulling up 4, and I thought, oh my God, this is going to be perfect for my ADHD. I'm only going to have to sit through 4 episodes. But there was 8 when it was all said and done. But and it's not a true story. So many people have asked me through the process of talking about it on Fox 2 yesterday, is this a real story? It's not a real story, but I think there's a lot of things that they've interwoven that you pick up, like things that have happened culturally that you're like, I don't know, that sounds very familiar. But the premise of the entire series is that Claire Danes has lost her son, and this creeper who apparently has killed his wife, but he's not been brought, charges haven't been brought against him, moves in next door. And then he wants her as a novelist to tell his story. So they start getting really close and trying to find out, what is his real story. And then there's a young man who tragically was involved in her son's accident that killed him, and he disappears as well. So, I mean, there's so many things going on in these 8 episodes that you're like, what is happening and where are we going, right? And how is this all going to end up? So I love things like that, right? They keep you guessing the entire time. So
is that a chick flick? I mean,
no, not like really. No, the guys are gonna love it too. There's an FBI agent involved, and
oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. No. Good. Is there enough
murder and mayhem to keep men happy?
Well, Karen, as Vic always says, well, is there shooting? Are there murders in it? We're good to go.
Graphic violence.
Yeah. Okay,
is there graphic violence? Right.
So no apparent reason, a la John Wick, right?
Oh, yes.
Got to have violence and killing.
There you go. Whatever that is, right?
the thing I wanted to know about that is that does she know, like, through the movie that he is, or she suspects?
She suspects through the process that he has been involved with only not his wife's disappearance, but the disappearance of this other young man.
Interesting, okay.
But you don't know till the end exactly. Mm. You know, but she speculates back and forth, right?
Right.
But she's trying to keep up the guise or the persona that she does trust him, right? And she does want to tell his true story. That's the premise of it, right?
So she's, The Beast in Me, it's rated TVMA on Netflix.
Yes, you know, TVMA. Don't watch it with the kids, right?
Less. Do you have anything you're looking forward to on tap that you want to alert us to real quick?
Oh gosh, not really. I mean, things are running together. No, that's okay. That's okay. things are running together at this point. I'm anxious to talk about Hamnet, which I can't do just yet.
What is it?
It's called Hamnet. It's actually the story of.
Don't talk about it.
I'm not William. I can tell you it's William Shakespeare's
Hamlet,
true life story.
Only with Hamnet,
right? Well, and actually, at the time, those names were interchangeable. Hamnet and Hamlet were interchangeable.
A kosher internet. I don't know. Non-kosher internet. I don't know.
But I want everybody to watch, you know, The Beast to be this weekend on Netflix.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
What are you watching?
We'll do it. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Good job, Kath.
Great. We are going to take a break, and then Ken and Karen are going to go at it again. Go to Facebook.com, NewsTalkSTL, Rumble.com, or you can call in at the number 314-912-1019. We'll tell you what we're going to talk about when we get back, right?
Hey, are you going to tease what you want to know from them?
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and do that now, and then get them ready.
Okay. Are you concerned that there is a splintering of the Trump coalition, namely MAGA, with none other than using Israel and Jews as the scapegoat?
Yeah. So if you have a thought about that, 314-912-1019. And then on the streams as well, you can go to Rumble, X, Facebook, Instagram, and put your information in the chat box. We'll talk about it.
We love the interaction and mixing it up. Okay. We'll be back on 101.9, 94.1 News Talk, STL, The Vic Porcelli Show.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.
The Vic Porcelli Show.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb.
It's Friday!
Made in St. Louis, for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
It's Friday!
I cannot listen to that clip from The Godfather without laughing and thinking of Vic. It is not that he's Fredo. No.
But I know.
Just this is so much fun.
Well, you know
we did a whole segment on The Godfather and a quiz. It was great.
Yeah, but the reason I when I play that, it bothers me because he thinks I'm talking about him. I never would say that, but it's fun.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
So we're going to dive right in, they like to say in talk radio. And we'll give out the number, 314-912-1019. You know, in the spirit of the old-fashioned, old-school, I love old-school, call-in talk radio made famous by Rush Limbaugh, where people actually call in and talk to each other on the telephone. But because people don't do that so much anymore. You can do Facebook, you can do Rumble, and Ken will give that again. But here's what's been on my mind. The success of TPUSA in particular, in face of the horrible assassination of Charlie Kirk, their enormous success has been mind-boggling. And I think it's absolutely good for the support of I'm sorry, I have a dog barking. He's going crazy.
No, we love that. We have dogs on our stream all the time.
He was toppling. The dog was toppling all my stuff on my table. During the last interview. It was hilarious.
I kind of heard it, I think.
And I love that Kathy said she's ADD because I'm very easily distracted too. Like, what was that? What was that? Okay. Getting back to a serious topic. It figures to strengthen, the Trump coalition into the midterms, et cetera, et cetera. What worries me is that with rapid success, there are a growing group of people. We all know that there is this, what is being called the woke right. I don't know. I know why they call it that. It's a little bit obscure, but I can explain. Jew haters on the right, you know their names. I was very slow to call them that, but Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and others, and they are stirring up all kinds of trouble, and they have no evidence, mind you, that Jews control the world, and we're doing a piss-poor job of it. But, you know, interestingly, it is the same old scapegoating, and we will talk about scapegoating a little bit. There's an article that I cited. We're not going to talk about it again with Daniel Greenfield because we don't like to just do Jew-centric stuff around here. But this issue is so infuriating because it stands to really separate and tear apart TPUSA in particular. I mean, because they had Tucker Carlson, who gave a very dark, almost Biden-esque speech at one of the TPUSA events. And I feel as if TPUSA is at the precipice of making some decisions about this. And the last sentence is that Charlie Kirk was without a doubt a great supporter of Israel and of the Jewish people. I even have an article in which he encouraged a man to get closer to his Judaism. He became an Orthodox Jew with the inspiration of Charlie Kirk. I realize that's not in the Christian doctrine, but never has it been more important for Christians and Jews to stand together now. And that's my challenge. What do you think is going on? Who's going to win this? I hope that the dividers are not going to. And what do you think is going on?
It's really interesting to me. And I want to start off, first of all, by citing on the stream, someone did actually post something here regarding the Jews are used as scapegoats for many different agendas, in my opinion. And Karen, I don't understand why Tucker Carlson and the others are doing what they're doing. But it's really throwing a wrench in things because we need to be solidified as more than ever in the conservative movement. I don't care how much conservative you are, how little. We need to be taking parts of the book of the Democrats that when they coalesce and they are very strong together, they're in lockstep. I mean, they'll even repeat after each other. I'm not saying like that, but we at least need to be on our own side and fight against what they're doing right now. And that's the biggest problem that I see with this. When Tucker Carlson comes out and says the things he's saying, when Candace Owens, she shocked me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, we outside of this studio have a flag. It's a combination of the American flag and it merges into the Jewish flag, the Israel flag. And it's beautiful.
Wow.
I mean, I'm a Zionist. I'm proud to say that I'm a Zionist.
And it's
wonderful. I mean, it's a great
thing. It's not a dirty word, for heaven's sake.
But Karen, people make it out to be a dirty word. And
yes, they do.
And they say that's Zionist. Well, okay. I don't understand what your point is.
All Zionist means is that you support the state of Israel.
Right.
They have made, well, you saw the kind of vilification they got on New York buses and announced. Anybody, any Zionists here? And they wanted to make sure and make people ashamed and self-censor for saying that they support the state of Israel. It's pure evil in its intent. It truly is.
I've said this to you before. I said, you guys are terrible colonists. They keep calling you colonists, and you're awful at that, because the Middle East has a little dot and it's Israel. You should be, if you're colonists, you should be all over the Middle East, right?
Well, it's so counterintuitive to reality. I want to just alert people to this article, because I'm not going to be talking about it hugely, I don't think, with Daniel Greenfield, because, you know, it's a short segment. All of them are short. In the sense that you could talk for hours. He's such a prolific writer. But he did put out an article called Anti-Semitism Isn't About the Jews. And it talks in a very provocative way about how Jews have been scapegoated through thousands of years. And it is something that I'm going to have to read again, because I didn't. But you can read it at Twitter. On my Twitter page, at Karen Cataline. And there's a picture of Tucker Carlson shaking the hand of a Muslim. And here's the other speculative thing. It is pure speculation, because we don't know. Some people have said that Qatar is funding Tucker Carlson, because all of a sudden he's very pro-Islam. He's even sounding pro-communist. Tucker Carlson. I subscribed to him.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of years ago.
I had to unsubscribe.
I did too. And it's not because I don't want to hear differing opinions. I thought he was someone of relative same opinion. And then when somebody makes a change that is that dramatic and drastic and abrupt, you have to be suspicious, don't you?
Yeah.
It's not like he's held these views forever and he has had a track record. Well, you know, he did used to be a liberal, but now I don't know what to make of him. Doesn't he have enough money? Didn't he get enough money? Is it money he's after? Because he seems to be a useful idiot for the left that wants to completely break up the Trump coalition. And the left has been unsuccessful in breaking up the Trump coalition. They've tried everything. They framed him. They tried to kill him. Mm-hmm. They tried to call him a felon. They dragged him in court. I mean, we all watched, and never did anybody bring up the infamous name Israel and Jews. Now, all of a sudden, they're taking an existing thousand-year-old prejudice, which some have, some don't, some are vulnerable towards, and they're using it to break up and have Christians fighting amongst themselves. That's why this article by Daniel Greenfield, which is now a little bit older, makes the case anti-Semitism isn't about the Jews.
No.
He makes the case, which is hard for me to believe, but he makes the case that this is about Christians, having Christians be at each other's throats about the issue of Israel. And you know what? I could see that.
And that's my question to you, Karen, is this can't be just him deciding. It can't be just Candace Owens deciding to pivot like that, because it was a drastic pivot. It was one that required me to unsubscribe. And I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked by some of the opinion that I was hearing from him. And that's my whole point about this thing, is what did it? Was it somebody on the other side? Because Democrats are great at this, if you remember. And so are Islamists. They're wonderful at this and making other people do their dirty work.
That is their MO, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's their MO. That's what they did with trying, and they're doing a doggone good job of it, creating an Arab Spring, that's a false term,
right,
in America by using other people to do their dirty work for them.
So maybe it's money motivated. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is motivated by money. I would never believe that with Tucker. I thought he was like, I put him on such a pedestal as a journalist when he was with Fox. When he quit Foxes, I thought, man, all that money that you're giving up, and you're, because you're making a stand. I don't know, Karen, you might be right on, you're at least on to something with this.
Well, and I don't know what it is. I know that it feels sinister. And to bring it back to TPUSA, what worries me is that there are long held associations in the conservative movement, and they're trying to infiltrate. And, you know, you saw Erica Kirk turn down something pop culture and millions of dollars with Taylor Swift.
Yep.
She had no problem with that.
Yep.
But I don't know what to make of Megyn Kelly yet. I thought she was fine. And yet now people are wondering about her. I don't want to drum people out of the movement. I just want people to set the record straight about Charlie Kirk. I mean, he, you know, they're saying with no evidence, they're saying that that the Mossad killed Charlie Kirk. It is amazing that people are willing to believe that.
Without any proof or anything.
Not a shred of evidence, because it's those evil Jews.
Yes.
It's like saying, well, Trump, of course he's a child molester.
Exactly.
He's a womanizer,
right,
isn't he?
Karen, you nailed it. That's exactly that's the same exact thing as if they were to say, well, Trump, you know, he's a pedophile. You know that? Well, where do you get that information? Oh, because I heard I heard it on social media. But you have no proof, really, though.
Bigotry, bigotry, and bigotry. And they're the ones that lectured us about it, and they're the ones that are trading in it.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart. Please write us back and, you know, let me know what you think. It's an ongoing concern. We can't let it happen.
No.
We have to have Christians and Jews standing against the next big war, I hate to say. And welcome Muslims who want peace.
Yes,
that
and
too.
That's a big factor, because there are Muslims who want to just have to raise their families and do live the American dream.
And they deserve an America to do it in.
Yeah.
Do they not?
Yes, they do.
I guess we have to go now, but boy, we entered a real passionate topic, and thank you so much for letting me
And for the calls. I did have a couple calls here. I couldn't get to them, so I'm sorry.
Too bad.
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, I hope to hear from them, because I really want to hear what they have
to
say.
And where can they reach you, Karen?
Oh, Karen at KarenCataline.com.
There you go.
Write me. I want to hear from you. That's all it is, Karen at KarenCataline.com. I guess we better take a break so we can talk to Daniel Greenfield to finish the show off in good form. Okay, so this is Karen Cataline. Thank you so much, Ken Williams. You're the neatest partner. Vic is so lucky.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on News Talk STL. Don't go away.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.
I just love all that.
Livia Soprano. You can't beat her.
Yeah. Or what is it? The My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are wrapping up this 3-hour extravaganza with one of the best writers, I think, out there. Israeli-born Daniel Greenfield, a Shulman journalist, journalism fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, an executive journalist, investigative journalist, talk, Karen, you can, writer focusing on the radical left, Islamic terrorism. And Daniel became CEO of the David Horowitz Freedom Center in 2025 after the tragic death of their leader, brilliant David Horowitz. Greenfield is a prolific writer at frontpagemag.com, DanielGreenfield.org, and the venerable Sultan Kanish. Mm-hmm. One more sentence, his latest book, Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Hi, Daniel. Thank you for joining us and gracing us with your presence.
No, it's very much my honor. Thank you, as always.
Well, There were so many articles that I could talk to you about, but I would like very much, I did alert people to your article, Anti-Semitism Isn't About the Jews. That is an important one for us to talk about. But let's talk, if you will, about the UK police have stopped investigating crime because all they're doing is talking about punishing people who insult Islam. What's going on?
You know, you people think crime is bad in Chicago, crime is bad in New York. But the UK, you know, where they have gun control, so of course they should have no crime whatsoever. You know, people there are not using guns to shoot each other. They're just whacking each other in the middle of the street with machetes, which is sadly true. The UK police have basically given up enforcing a lot of crimes. Recent statistics say that not a single burglary has been solved in the past 3 years in more than 160 parts of London. So the police have basically announced that if you have certain things like bikes stolen, after a few hours, don't even bother calling us. We're not going to investigate. However, you know, while they might not be fighting crime so much, they are doing a fantastic job of arresting about 1,000 people a month for social media posts. That's 1,000 people a month. Around 30 people a day are being arrested for saying the wrong thing on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, in the UK.
That's astonishing. Most Americans can't even comprehend of such a thing, that you would post something on social media and get arrested for it. Really?
I don't know how lucky we are to have free speech. That's not the case in most of the rest of the world. It is very certainly not the case in the UK, where, again, they actually have, at this point, more people arrested for speech than in China.
That's... And what happens to them? Under what law have they broken?
Well, these are sorts of public order offenses that they can selectively use to arrest people. Thus, for example, there was a horrifying Muslim terrorist attack where a Muslim terrorist came in, stabbed a bunch of little girls, doing a Taylor Swift dance lesson. Really horrifying case. Three of the girls were murdered. Others were violently, brutally stabbed. Of course, the authorities came out locally, said he is not a Muslim. People who said that he was a Muslim, including in some cases even journalists, had the police come to their houses. In some cases, they were told to report to the police station. They were threatened with charges for spreading misinformation that's designed to incite violence and hate.
So they are justifying violence and hate by claiming others are violent and hateful. We've seen that in the left forever, haven't we? They were priming the pump, spiking the football to tell us how none of us could be less tolerant. But that just seemed to be the precursor for how they were setting it up so that they were going to be intolerant. No?
That's exactly correct. They weaponized that, and then they claim that we're the ones who are intolerant. We're the ones who actually are suppressing any criticism of their own intolerance.
Yeah. And I think what we're seeing is a progression, to coin a phrase, of what we saw happening. I don't know, would it have been around 2009? And POTUS 44, who... clearly, a Muslim Marxist resembles the one that is about to be mayor. The only difference is he did a better job of hiding it. Your thoughts? Is that an unfair statement?
Well, I'm not sure. I think the big transition these days is they're not bothering to hide it anymore. We are past the point of really feeling the need to hide it. Now, if Obama ran today, he'd be running more like Mamdani and less like the uniter. There is no Black America. There's no white America. There is just the United States of America.
Right. Exactly.
Which we know he did not believe.
No, he didn't govern as such. It is amazing looking back when you have the benefit of hindsight to watch and see that he claimed he was a Christian. Do you remember the people who bought that? That pastor who brought him to Christ? Nothing could have been further from the truth.
The pastor who came out of the Nation of Islam.
Exactly. And it took so long.
The Christian Nation of Islam.
Yes. The media covered for him. We can remember Stephanopoulos trying to correct Obama when he claimed he was a Muslim. And he said, no, you mean you're Christian, right? You're Christian.
Yes, my Muslim religion. No, you're Christian.
My Muslim religion. No, my Christian religion. you know, what I wanted to cover with you, too, is I keep mentioning the Arab Spring, which did happen, I believe, in the first term of Obama. Calling it that was, of course, a ridiculous notion. It was an excuse to import millions of Muslims into Europe. And now I read that there are young women in London who are getting pet pigs so that Muslim men will leave them alone because Muslim men think of all Western women as prostitutes. Is that what you read too?
Certainly people are finding all sorts of defenses and other have these anti-rape underwear, unfortunately, because you
what?
Have this mass.
No.
Basically, modern chastity belts, yes. That's awful.
Oh.
What happened in Europe over the last, particularly since the Arab Spring, was you had this mass flood of migrants coming into Europe, on a catastrophic scale. And then you had mass attacks on women, like the Cologne attacks in Germany on New Year's Eve, where hundreds of women were assaulted in public. So you now have fewer women going out in public. You have people taking measures. It's becoming like South Africa in that regard. And in the UK in particular, that's a situation where the government has allowed just thousands and thousands of Afghans, others to come across on what they call small boats out of France. So they come to France, the French let them just take their little rafts, paddle over the English Channel, come there. And for that matter, the government itself, the British government, brought over thousands, tens of thousands of Afghans secretly while threatening any journalist who reported it with prison.
Hmm. It seems like the situation on steroids that we had during the Otto Penn administration, in which all conservatives were guilty, all law-abiding citizens were guilty of something if they opposed the administration, and if you were a good leftist, you got away with anything.
That's exactly it. We're about a decade behind Europe in this regard.
Well, referring to the UK, I've seen videos of people walking down the street and being questioned because they're wearing the Star of David while people are protesting as Islam, as Islamists. Then they say, well, you're inciting violence by wearing that Star of David.
Yeah, you have people who are wearing Stars of David, who are carrying English flags, St. George's Cross, who are actually being interrogated, threatened, and have flags in some cases being taken away. One of my favorite cases is actually this anti-Israel rally. This guy comes to an anti-Israel rally. He's opposed to Israel, but he's also opposed to Hamas. He's got a sign basically condemning Israel and condemning Hamas. The people at the rally, of course, are angry at him. The police arrest him, not obviously for the criticism of Israel, but for the criticism of Hamas.
Wow.
You know, I've seen enough hand-wringing about this. I know you're a writer and you expose all of this. In your heart of hearts, Daniel, what do you think has to happen to arrest this trend?
The hard truth, David.
Yeah.
Or Daniel, I'm sorry.
Daniel.
Yeah. I said David. I said Star David.
What we need is to get serious. First of all, we need to end the mass migration to our country. This is something that people have been crying out in America, in the UK, in Europe for, and their leaders refuse to do it. They play games. You know, President Trump has come closest to actually stopping the flood, but we still have too many people coming in here. And we have to remember, it's not just the southern border. It's also people coming through airports, legally or illegally, and then overstaying their visas. So we need to drastically cut down on the number of people coming here. This has created a lot of social chaos. It's brought terrorists to America. Secondly, we need to deal with the fact that there are some ideologies, you know, we had to have this reckoning during the Cold War. Some ideologies are not created equal. Some are driven by the need to destroy America. And that was the case with communism. It's the case with Islamism. Unless we get serious about that reality, unless we understand what people like Mamdani are after, unless you understand the Obama legacy, we are going to be repeating this history and worse versions of this history, because we cannot afford a worse version of Obama. We can't afford Mamdani staying in the White House.
Yeah. I think it is fair. I think people are waking up to the fact in an incredibly fast way, in a rapid way, that the 20 million plus illegal aliens of the Otto Penn administration was the attempt. We talked and analyzed forever about why do the left so openly want to invade our country. What we didn't see was that they were using human weapons to invade our country with Muslims in the southern and the northern border to create America's version of the Arab Spring. Where am I wrong?
That's absolutely the case. I hate to keep going back to the UK, but the Blair government back in the
you
day
have to. You have
admitted
to.
That they actually were doing this to fundamentally transform the UK by changing the demographics. What the Democrats have been doing all along is, instead of actually thinking about how can we win over the voters that exist, how can we create new voters? They've been doing this. I discussed this in my book, Domestic Enemies, from the very beginning, over 200 years ago. So open borders, mass migration is exactly their strategy. They want to pick their demographics. And they're doing it. They're doing it by bringing mass numbers of foreigners to this country, packing districts with them so that they actually gain all these congressional seats that they have no right to, because these districts are full of people who are non-citizens, who are not even legally here.
Yes.
And secondly, they want these people to become citizens as quickly as possible so they can actually create these voters.
And now they're invading the elected office officials as well. People know the names of Ilhan Omar. She's not going anywhere. Neither is the one from Minnesota. Boy, that is a very quick.
Sorry about that. Yeah, no, like,
we got a little more time. Well, we should wrap up by thanking Daniel Greenfield. How is it being the CEO of the David Horowitz Freedom Center? They couldn't have chosen a more perfect person. Are you doing like 10 duties now instead of 5?
Still doing what I'm doing, which is fighting the good fight, and we're carrying on David Horowitz's legacy and his work.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your work, and you are the voice of clarity. So we appreciate you. Take care. That does it for the Vic Porcelli Show. Thank you to Ken Williams, everybody, for making this such a great experience.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.